It's easier to give a testimony up here than it is behind the piano, by the way. I just want to say this. A few years back, I had a pretty bad need. And I was thinking about this in the choir a minute ago, and that's why I was about to blow up here. And I needed a job. And that need was pretty bad. I mean, I needed money, and I needed a job. And I went to this place and applied and talked to the guy, and he liked me, and he gave me the job. And you know what I was? I was excited. Amen. I was excited. Well, a few days later, they called me in the main office, and they set me down in a little room, and they said, "We want to go over something." They said, "We want to go over your benefits package." And I tell you what, I went home that day and I told my wife, I said, "You know what? I got a job and I'm excited about that, but I got all these benefits. Man, they're going to take care of my insurance and they're going to do this and I get this day off every month and this day off and I get so many holidays." And you know what? There was a time when I was 15 years old and I had a desperate need. And there may be somebody sitting here tonight and you've got a need. And that need is to trust Jesus Christ. That need was to get saved. And listen, I met Him. I met Him when I was 15 years old. But every Sunday when I come here and meet, and during revival meetings and time in prayer, and every time I get in His Word, you know what I'm learning about? I'm learning about that benefits package. Amen. Amen. Brother, I got a God. The other day I was riding down the road and I bowed my head and I said, "Lord, you know we need a heat pump. And you know we got problems. And you know what's going on in our house." Listen, that's just one of the many things. I got a God I can talk to in prayer. Amen. Man, we got benefits in serving the Lord. I had a need and He met that need. The need of my soul. I was lost and on my way to hell. And He met that need, but there's so much more to serving the Lord. Now that's testimony. I'm not going to preach.
That's all right. Good preaching. Amen. That's a preacher moment. Hallelujah. Amen.
Now I'm going to come over here. Man, I'm just glad I'm saved tonight. There's a bunch more to that. That's just a thought, you know. Man, I'm glad I'm saved. Thank God for His benefits. Don't forget them.
Yeah, man.
Amen. Don't care where you're at, man. I'm telling you what. He told Moses, He said, "I will certainly." He said, "Certainly I'll be with thee." Amen. He didn't just say, "I'll be with you." He said, "Certainly I'll be with you." You know what He said to you, Christian? "I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you." That's a benefit, ain't it? Amen. Sound like Hallelujah Howard tonight. Amen. I don't know. Maybe you're having a hard time tonight. Look, just keep on going, man. The Lord's in your corner.
It's in the midnight
hour when you're hanging by a thread and you've cried all.
believe that. If I didn't believe that, I'd quit praying. I would quit praying if I didn't believe God still answered prayer. Whatever your prayer need is tonight, God still answers prayer. He may not do it when you want. He may not do it how you want. But He still answers prayer. I've prayed a lot of prayers that haven't been answered yet. But I've seen enough of my prayers answered to make me believe God answers prayers. I know He does. I know He does. There's too many things happen that just that couldn't be coincidence. Let me remind you to please be here Wednesday night and have all the kids here. They'll be working on their parts for the Christmas play, and it's important. So make sure all the kids are here Wednesday night, and mamas and daddies. Don't send them, bring them. And the Lord will bless you. We need that time on Wednesday night to help give that special little push, get you on through the work week or the school week. Now this evening, let's take our Bible, turn to John chapter 4. The book of John chapter 4 this evening. And I want to talk about harvest, the harvest time. Since we are, I was looking at those leaves, those trees up there this evening in the mountains. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful place up there where my sister's cabin is. My goodness, where they live is out in the country, and I don't know why they'd have to have a getaway when you live out in the woods anyway. But they have it out there, and it's got a creek and it woods and trails and rocks, and they had a fire going, and boy, it was so nice. And I got to looking at those leaves like I did the other day. And everything's dying. Harvest time is here. According to the Bible, there'll be a harvest of this world. You know, you'll look in John chapter 4, and I want to show you what the Lord said about it. John chapter 4, and I believe the conversation with Jesus and the woman at the well. The Bible said here in John chapter 4, in verse 31... He's talking to this woman here, and he said this. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed to him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. What was he talking about there? Therefore, said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? They thought somebody brought him a picnic lunch or something. And the Lord saith, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now that means that doing the will of God is like eating spiritually. It'll satisfy you to do the will of God. Verse 35, say ye not, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. He said, you guys are saying, let's wait a while. Let's wait a while. The corn ain't grown yet. The tomatoes are not ripe yet. He said, look on the fields, for they're white, all ready to harvest. Now, real quick tonight, I'm not going to be long at all. I want us to look at that thought about the fields being white unto harvest. The harvest is the summer's over. Harvest will soon be over. The time together in the crops, that's what harvest is. Time together in. Sowing and reaping is a great natural and spiritual truth in the Bible. The Lord said, work while it is day, cause the night cometh when no man can work. You're going to hear me say it probably next Sunday. You're going to get a chance to meet your family at Thanksgiving, at Christmas. Use that opportunity to witness. I did with mine today when my sister said, Danny, time to ask the blessing. I always give them a little sermon. I talk about how thankful we ought to be. I talk about if you're not ready to meet God, get ready. I talk about if you've never been saved, get saved. And then I pray a prayer. I don't mess around. I don't just say, Lord, our Heavenly Father, thank Thee for this food we're about to eat. You know, and bless the hands that prepared. No, I pray around the world. I pray and let them hear me pray. You know why? Because the fields are white unto harvest. Nobody's getting any younger. People are dying every day. It's almost the end of 2013. And all that's going to matter one day is what we've done for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say, first of all tonight, the harvest for the church is ripe. The door is still open, but not for long. It'll close at the rapture. It's been open for 2,000 years. We are in the age of the Holy Spirit. We're in the age of day of grace. When the Lord came, the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost, He's given us 2,000 or some odd years to get the harvest in. We're already at 2013 and the Lord's getting ready to come back. So the Holy Spirit came down at the beginning of the church age, and then we're raptured out at the end of the church age. So the harvest is ripe for the church. I want to say to you tonight, folks, our time is short to reach your family, to reach your brother. This may be the last Christmas you ever see some of your family. This may be the last chance, Thanksgiving Day, that you ever get a chance to witness to your sister or your cousin or maybe your mother or maybe your daddy. Telling you, the harvest is ripe for the church. Bus workers, we'll be having a meeting tonight in just a little bit, Lord willing. It may be the last year we get to knock on the door. Listen, if we knew we only had 6 more Saturdays to work for Jesus and the rapture is going to come January the 1st, I'm going to be in heaven. I'm going to say, thank God I spent them last 6 Saturdays knocking on somebody's door and telling them about Jesus. And wouldn't that be good? I'd hate to think that I thought, I quit the bus ministry. I don't enjoy it no more. I don't have a burden no more. I don't enjoy it. Maybe we don't do it because we enjoy it. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. We don't do it because we got a burden. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. We do it because there's a need. If the building's on fire, you don't have to have a burden. You put the fire out. If somebody's screaming for help, you don't have to feel led. You help them out. I will tell you tonight, the harvest is ripe for the church. There's never rise and shine. Amen. You know what the world's waiting on? They're waiting on Superman. The whole world tonight is gathering around, and the devil's whipping them around, waiting on Superman to show up. And Superman is going to show up. Except the Lord's going to come and take us out. The Superman the world's waiting on ain't really Superman. Amen. He's the devil, and you hear all these things, you see all these things on the internet, you hear these things, they say to the Buddhist, he's somebody, Maharaji or something, to the Muslims, he's Allah, to the Christians, he's Jesus, and we all wait for the coming Messiah. That's the devil they're waiting on. That's the Antichrist they're waiting on. You know what they're waiting on? They're waiting on Superman from heaven, but he really ain't Superman. They're like that big old fighter that got on an airplane one time. And you know, when you sit down on an airplane, they make you put on your seatbelt. You don't have a choice. And he got on there, you know, he thought he was real big and bad and tough like that and sat down. And the stewardess, they'll come by and they'll make you put your seatbelt on. Because I try to get out of it every time. And they make you. What good's a seatbelt going to do you doing 600 miles an hour straight down? You ain't gonna help you cut your guts out quicker, I guess. But anyway, this big guy sitting down there, she said, "Sir," he said, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." She said, "Superman don't need no airbag." Amen. Ain't that true? You're Superman, you and that sit on his and you just fly over there. He really ain't Superman. I'm going to tell you tonight, brother, the world's looking for Superman, but he really ain't Superman. I'll tell you, Superman's coming in the rapture to take Christians out of this world, and that's the real Superman. The world Superman, old 666, he's a fake. I'm telling you tonight, brother, we are going to make it to heaven, and we got to take every single person we got to put a foot out. We got to put a witness out. We got to put a track out. Put a bumper sticker on your car. The harvest is ripe for the church. You got somebody in your family not saved? You may be the last Thanksgiving Day you ever spend with them. You know somebody in your family that's not right with God? This may be the last Thanksgiving evening you ever see in a couple of weeks, week and a half or so. The harvest is ripe for the church. But let me say secondly tonight, the harvest is ripe for the Christian. The Bible said, "Cast your bread upon the water, for thou shalt find it after many days." The work is now. The wages are good. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I try to witness everywhere I go, and I run into some characters. I met a guy, boy over here at the gym one night, was playing ball, and I started trying to witness to him. And I said, "Are you a Christian?" And he said, "Well, I guess you could say I'm agnostic." And he had heard somebody say that. He had heard some college professor say that. And he thought that was cool. And he thought, an agnostic, that sounds intelligent. You know, that sounds like I've been to college. Yes, I'm an agnostic. Now, what a person don't realize who says that
is really what an agnostic is a man that don't have enough nerve to be an atheist. He's afraid there might be a God, but he thinks they might not be, maybe they are, maybe they ain't, and it means agnostic. Gnostic means knowledge, knowing something, knowledge, no. Knowledge. I don't know if there's a God, they might be one, they might not be one. And I think, you can look it up, it's a Latin word, ignoramus. Very same word, ignosco, without knowledge. And you can look it up, sure does, and agnostic. So what a man, when a man's son says, I'm agnostic, what he's really saying is, I'm an ignoramus. I don't know. By the way, that's what they tell you. They say, some of them educated people, they say, you can't really know anything. You ever heard that? Them professors, they'll say, now boys and girls, we can't know anything for sure. And you ask them, are you sure? How do you know you can't know nothing? They know that you can't know nothing. You can't know you can't know nothing. If you can't know nothing, you couldn't know it. Man said, one thing I'm sure of, you can't know anything. Well, you crazy thing. You contradicted yourself. I'm telling you tonight, I went right over some of y'all blonde roots, but I'm telling you tonight, listen, brother, if you can't know nothing, you can't know you don't know nothing. And I'm telling you tonight, he that knows not and knows not that he knows not is a fool. You better stay away from him. He that knows and don't know that he knows, he's asleep, waking. He that knows and he knows, he's a wise man. Follow him. And he that knows not and knows not that he knows not is a fool. You better leave him alone. I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the harvest is ripe for the Christian. You know what I told him? I said, there's got to be a God. There's got to be a God. Listen, this thing of evolution is killing our churches. We got so many Christians tonight. You'd be surprised at the Christians that go to Baptist churches that say, well, maybe God created the world, but he did it by evolution. I had a teacher tell me that one time who was a deacon in a Baptist church up the road that way. And I told him, I said, you know what? You know what a man's problem is to say that? He's chicken and don't read his Bible. The Lord made Adam and Eve full grown man and full grown woman in one day. They did not evolve. The Bible don't teach evolution. Listen, if you'd have met Adam and Eve when they was 1 hour old, how old would a scientist say they was? 30 years. Grown man, grown woman. How old are they? Well, they're at least 30 years of age. Scientifically, prove them to be 30 and they're 1 hour old. That shows that you cannot go. There was a time when every scientist believed the earth was flat. There was a time when scientists believed that your diseases were in your blood, and when you got sick, they would cut you and bleed you and try to get rid of that disease, and they bled lots of people to death because they thought it. And the Bible said the life of the flesh is in the blood. You can't go by what science says if it contradicts the Bible. Nothing wrong with science until it contradicts the Bible. Where it contradicts the Bible, brother, I'm going with the book. You can do whatever you want to, because this book will stand when the world's on fire. The time and harvest is ripe for us Christians. I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, our time is short. Our time is short. The harvest is ripe. Ladies and gentlemen, what would happen if you saw somebody out there in the world? What would happen? A teacher asked class one time. She said, I saw a drunk passed out on the railroad tracks. What should I do? She asked class, I saw a drunk passed out on the railroad track. What should I do? And all the students said, drag him off. So a train won't come by and kill him. Now, that's the way they are out there. Sinners are lost. People are lost. People you work with are lost. People you work with are lost. People you work with are lost. Don't go in there and hide your light. Don't go in there and be ashamed. Put a verse of scripture on your desk. Let them know you're a child of God. They're going to need it. They're going to cast you one day at the judgment if you hid your light and let them die and go to hell. The harvest for the Christian is right. Number three, the harvest for the wicked will come. Be not deceived. Bible said, be sure your sin will find you out. Some people sow their wild oats and then pray for a crop failure. But the crop always comes in. I read a statistic the other day.
that talks about suicide rates. And it talks about people who drink alcohol and use drugs. And the suicide rate for people that drink alcohol and use drugs is 58 times higher than people who stay sober. What's that? 58. 58 to 1 people who kill themselves drink alcohol or do drugs. What that means is drugs and alcohol mess your mind and judgment up and open you up to demonic spirits. And the devil comes in and says, "Won't you just kill yourself? Won't you just kill yourself? Won't you just kill yourself?" The way to get that you open up. That's why. And then in big cities, it'll say wine and spirits. That when you drink wine, when you drink alcohol, when you put drugs in your body, you are opening yourself up to spirits, and the devil starts talking to you. And people kill themselves all the time, 58 times. I'm telling you, the harvest is ripe for the wicked. I'm telling you, you cannot do what God said don't do and get away with it. There's certain kinds of cancer that people get. Promiscuous lifestyle, immoral. There are all kinds of diseases, over 50 sexually transmitted diseases, STD. Are you listening, young people? You think you can go out here and sleep with that girl and sleep with that girl and sleep with that boy? I'm telling you, you better listen to me tonight. God said don't do it. And when you do it, the harvest is coming. Harvest is coming. Just like that corn comes up. Harvest is coming. You think, "Oh, nothing ain't going to happen. All my friends are doing it. Everybody on TV does it." But there is a harvest time coming. When you mess around with sex before you're married, God puts the date down on the calendar. Right there, he's going to get it. Right there, she's going to get it. And the harvest always comes. It always comes. And when you go to bed with a boy, you are going to bed with everybody he's ever been to bed with. Your body is touching everybody his has ever touched, and there's 50 sexually transmitted diseases, and 1 in 4 teenagers has got one of them right now. You're playing with fire. You think you're so smart. You think you're so cool. You think we're in love. You think, I'll tell you what you are. You're a fool if you play around with sin. It'll burn you. If you play with fire, you'll get burned. Are you listening to me tonight? The harvest of the wicked will come. You know what old Ted Turner said? They was bragging on him the other day about what a genius he was. I don't know if I'd call him a genius. The Bible said the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. Ted Turner said, "I've had a few drinks and a few girlfriends. If that's going to put me in hell, so be it." That's what he said. Quote. Well, I'm telling you one thing. That man will live to regret them words. When the angel binds him and hangs him over hell and he's falling in the fire, he'll say, "No, God, no, God, I'm sorry." But it's too late. The harvest of the wicked is ripe. God's never changed his mind. What he said about heaven and hell. It's sad. You hear very little preaching on hellfire anymore, but it's still in that Bible. And if you throw hell out, you have a right to throw heaven out. Same Bible tells us about hell, tells us about heaven. If there ain't no hell, you know how you know there's a heaven. We're living in that wishy-washy, sweetie pie day of Christianity when the people want all the positive but not the negative. The harvest is ripe for the wicked. Number 4, the harvest of death is on our trail. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed unto man once to die. Death is sure. No respecter of persons. It ends our earthly life. It goes in a funeral home. In spite of inflation, the wages of sin is still death. Abel died. Saul died. Samson died. Judas died. Paul died. Peter died." I was thinking the other day, those people that are living in my mom's house, it still is hard for me to get used to somebody else living in my mom's house. She's been gone 2 years, gone to heaven, and I still think about her almost every day, dream about her. I still dream about my daddy. He's been dead 20 years. I still think about it. And you know what? The other day I was thinking, I thought, their generation moved on. There's somebody else living in that house. If the Lord don't come, this generation will move on.
And they won't even know us. The next one coming up. The one before us, we don't know them and know them. And they're just going off the scene. We're getting our chance to live right now. I'm getting my chance to preach right now. You're getting your chance to be a parent right now for your kid. You're getting your chance to be a good man or a good woman right now. But the harvest of death is on our trail. I may be preaching anybody in here's funeral before this week's over, or you may be coming to mine. Don't forget that. The harvest of death is on our trail. Somebody said this. They're talking about songs, Christian songs. When you die, y'all listen. Christian songs for dying. They said, if you're going in a car real fast and texting, driving 75 miles an hour, you sing, "Nearer My God to Thee." If you hit 85 miles an hour and you're flying down the road texting or talking on the phone, you sing, "When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there." If you're going 95 miles an hour, and you sing, "Lord, I'm coming home." Amen. I tell you one thing, brother. We're closer than we think we are. We're closer than we think we are. Some of us is already past the halfway point, and we don't even know. You may be 25 here tonight and have 3 days to live, or 4 days to live, or a week, or an hour. We don't know. I'm telling you, death is on your trail. You got something you need to make right? With your mama? With your daddy? I know people right now, sisters that won't even speak to each other. Sisters. I know people right now that won't speak to their mother or their daddy. Last Sunday night, I preached about making things right, and I talked about that man that treated his family wrong, and then the guy made it right with him before he died. I got a text when I got home from a church member who said they'd been estranged from their daddy many, many years, and said that message was right to me. God spoke to my heart and how much it helped them. Listen, folks, life is too short for us to stay mad at each other, our families, and our friends, even in church. Too short. Too short. When you get ready to die, you'll look back and you'll say, "You know what? I shouldn't have acted like that. I shouldn't have been like that." The harvest is ripe. Lastly, I'll say this and I'm done. The harvest of God's wrath is coming. That's why the Bible said, "Flee from the wrath to come." There's a sickle thrust in. Revelation 6 and verse 13, "For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" The vine is ripe. The judgment is heard. The closer we get to the Lord's coming, the more signs we see. The spiritual way, highway, is cluttered with signs. The harvest is ripe. The harvest is ripe. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, young person, mom or dad, harvest is ripe. I'm telling you, it's ripe. Just like these things here. Now, these ain't real, but they're showing you how them all was green and pretty. And all them leaves like that was real green and young, and now they're old and gold and dying. Fading away. Fading away. God is showing you that's the way life is. And one of these days, for everybody in here, we're going to look up and there's the Lord. And we're standing right in front of Him. And that's why you hear me pray a lot of times, "Lord, help us to live our life every day the way we wished we had." Sometimes I like to think, "All right, I'm in heaven, and I'm looking back. Lord, I wish I'd have done this more. Well, see, we can't do that after we get there. So try to think like that now and think, how would I want to use my life now?" And I believe it'd make a difference. It's harvest time. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Every head bowed, every eye closed.